Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Federal workers in Juneau are among the thousands nationwide to receive layoff notices in their inboxes last week and over the holiday weekend. This is part of the Trump administration's continued effort to downsize the government. KTOO's Claire Strempel reports on how residents are dealing with the layoffs.
Matthew Brodsky got his dream job in 2023. As a wilderness ranger for the U.S. Forest Service, he patrolled Tracy Arm Fjord by kayak in the summer season, monitoring environmental data and providing information to visitors aboard cruise ships. But last week, Brodsky says he and other Forest Service staff in Juneau were called into a meeting.
The bomb was dropped that 9 people were getting fired that day in Juneau, and it was the first wave of, you know, an indefinite amount of waves. And when it was all said and done, basically every single probationary employee in the Forest Service was going to be fired for the exact same reason.
His termination letter arrived on Sunday. The letter reads, in part, that based on his performance, his further employment at the agency would not be in the public interest.
Like, even knowing that was going to come, seeing that language show up, and knowing for a month that I'm probably going to lose my job, it didn't really dampen the, like, how that read and what a slap in the face that was to actually see it in writing from some person I've never met and who has no idea the work I've done or my coworkers either.
Most federal employees must complete a 1-year probationary period after they're hired. But Brodsky was hired under a Forest Service program aimed at people already in Alaska that included a 2-year probationary period. For him, that period ends in June. He says some of his coworkers had just a few weeks left in theirs. Many of them are now struggling with whether to stay in Juneau.
I don't want to leave this community. I know people that probably will have to. There's major implications of that sort of decision incoming, not just for Juneau, but for other communities around Alaska.
Shortly after President Donald Trump took office last month, more than 2 million federal employees received an email from the Office of Personnel Management offering full pay and benefits through September in return for their resignation. But Brodsky and many of his coworkers didn't actually have access to the email when it was first sent out. They're seasonal and didn't return to pay status until this month. Nationally, some federal employees have reported being fired even after accepting the offer, though the Trump administration said Sunday that was a mistake. Requests for information about the total number of firings within the Tongass region were directed to the Forest Service's Washington, D.C. office, which has not responded. But a local union representative said 124 Forest Service employees across the state had been terminated as of Tuesday. According to a report from the Juneau Economic Development Council, Juneau had roughly 700 federal civilian employees as of 2023. In the Southeast region, more than 1,300 people were federally employed. And the layoffs weren't limited to the Forest Service. The National Park Service and Federal Highway Administration were also affected. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration employees in Juneau have been told to expect layoffs, too. More than 500 people rallied to demonstrate against the layoffs and other Trump administration policies outside the Capitol in Juneau on Monday as part of a nationwide protest. Among them were recently terminated federal workers and federal workers who feared for their jobs.
I work for NOAA, yeah, so I'm a little afraid.
One NOAA employee, who didn't give her name because she's afraid of retaliation, said workers received an email over the weekend that said it's likely that all probationary employees in her office will be let go. Anyone who's been with NOAA for less than a year.
You know, Alaska has a lot of subsistence people that need to understand how their weather and their climate and their environment's changing. And if we lose employees in NOAA or we cut back NOAA's power, they're not going to have those services.
But the loss of federal workers in Juneau ripples out into the private sector, too. Mike Heckers, a local guide in the summers, said he's upset about the layoffs.
There's going to be about 900,000 people coming to the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center area this summer, and there may be no services, nobody patrolling for bear issues, managing the buses and the taxis and the people.
Looking around at the dispersing rally, he said it was great to see so many people outraged, even as a torrent of changes come from the Trump administration.
It's discouraging, but we're going to keep fighting. We'll see what tomorrow brings, but I'm going to stay the course.
Brodsky, the former wilderness ranger, says he has no plans to leave Juneau at the moment. He's looking for other jobs, and he hopes he'll find something he loves as much as the last one. With help from Adeline Baxter, I'm Claire Strempel in Juneau.
And state lawmakers are considering a new student loan repayment program to attract former Alaskans to return and serve as teachers and state workers. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, it's an effort to address the state's struggle to hire key employees and stem the tide of outmigration.
The program outlined in House Bill 28 would pay off up to $24,000 in student debt for Alaskans who go out of state for college as an incentive to return home to work for the state or as a public school teacher. Juneau Democratic Representative Andy Story is the bill's sponsor.
I want to incentivize and encourage skilled former Alaskans to come back home and work as teachers or state employees. These Alaskans typically have family here and a connection to this place and are more apt to stay long-term than new hires from another state.
Over the past 12 years, roughly 56,000 more Alaskans left the state than arrived. And Story says only about a third of Alaskans who go south for college wind up coming back. Her proposed loan repayment program would also be open to University of Alaska graduates who have lived out of state for at least a year. The repayments would be funded by $1 million from the state's Higher Education Fund each year. The three-year pilot program could support up to 125 yearly $8,000 grants. The bill had its first hearing on Monday. Terry Fagerstrom testified. She received state student loan assistance under a program active in the 1970s and 80s, and she said it provided an incentive to return home after going to college in the lower 48.
At the end of 5 years, I had a really good job, and I had great benefits. I had established my community. I had friends. I'd purchased a home, and I was vested, and I stayed here. So the way I look at it, for an $11,000 investment, the state of Alaska got a 31-year, very productive, highly educated employee. And I think that's a pretty good return on investment.
The bill is currently in the early stages of the legislative process. It'll have to clear the House Education Committee and the Finance Committee before advancing to a final House vote. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And Alaska's state ferry system continues to face stiff headwinds when it comes to staffing, state officials say. Alaska Marine Highway officials say they're struggling to attract and retain workers, especially licensed staff. AMHS Marine Director Craig Tornga told House committees last week that the ferry system hasn't been able to offer a seven-ship schedule since the pandemic. And when it comes to engineers and deck officers, he says the situation is getting worse, not better.
In the licensed officers, both in the engine room and in the wheelhouse, we're going the wrong direction right now, unfortunately. We're not making as many as we need, and we've through the retirements and going to the pilot, we've been going the wrong direction.
The Marine Highway System is nearly 10% short of the minimum number of masters and mates it needs to run a full fleet. Add in a cushion in case crew members get sick, injured, or take leave, and the ferry system is 30% short of its targeted number of officers. It's a similar story for engineers and lower-ranking deck crew. And even among the deck officers the ferry does have, Tornga says it is still short 31 officers without full pilotage. That's a qualification for navigating Alaska's tricky tides and rocky shores, and it takes years to obtain. Tornga says the state is working on new ways to help build the ranks of certified pilots. He told lawmakers the Marine Highway is working on a plan that would pay lower-ranking officers a partial salary to do ride-alongs on their way to getting pilotage. But for now, Tornga says the Alaska Marine Highway System is serving as something of a farm system for other maritime employers, like, say, cruise ships who've hired ferry workers from across the state.
It's just a nature of our market here with the cruise ship growth that where are you going to get them? You know, there's a lot of guys that are qualified with pilotage over at AMHS.
Tornga says pay and working conditions are major struggles in recruiting and retaining staff. For one example, he says masters working for Washington State Ferry System can earn a full 25% more than they can in Alaska. And unlike their Alaska colleagues, they can still go home to their families every night. Tornga also told lawmakers the ferry system would not run its popular cross-Gulf routes between South Central and Southeast Alaska this summer. That's because the ferry Kennecott is still in layups for upgrades. You're listening to KTOO.